mission field or go where it's 100 degrees on a cool day. But when God works in your heart, it's exciting. It's wonderful. So would you take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 1? One pastor that I know, he said, looking at the book of Romans, 16 chapters, it's like where we're at right now, it's like looking up at Mount Everest. And it will be a climb for us. But I think at the top, it's pretty glorious. I think it'll be worth our time and our efforts to read and to study and to see the basis of our faith, the basis of the gospel, and for us to learn and to grow. There's so many verses in Romans that you probably already know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does anyone know the reference to that? 3:23, right. That comes at the end of the first section of Romans. The first section is from chapters 1 to the end of chapter 3. 1 through 3. And Paul is going to tell us the reason we need the gospel. And he sums it up there in 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he's going to tell us how we receive the gospel, which in chapter 4 is by faith. You believe. That's how Abraham was saved in the Old Testament. That's how you can be saved. It's by believing in Jesus as your Savior. And then in the middle chapters of Romans, he's talking about how we should live for God as Christians, being justified. So how should we then live? And he's going to talk about the future of Israel and how the gospel has a future in the world. And then he deals with the church, because in the church at Rome, understand some background. Very, very important background. We believe the church was started right after Pentecost, because when you go to Acts chapter 2, you see there were Jewish people from all over the world, including Rome, who had come to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit falls, the apostles preach the gospel, people believe, thousands of people believe, and they go back to their homelands. They go back, and they now have the Holy Spirit. They now have the gospel in their heart. They have gone from law to grace. They've gone from Old Testament to New Testament in their lives. And so these Jewish believers in Jesus go back to Rome where they're from, and they do what? They start fellowshipping together. They start having church. They are the church. And then in AD 41... this is history. This is historical information. In AD 41, the emperor, whose name is Claudius, expels all of the Jews from Rome. In fact, we could go to Acts chapter 18 and verse 2, and you'll see the Bible records that, but history records it as well, that the emperor expels all of the Jews out of Rome. So what happens to the church? Is there no church then in Rome? There is a church, but who is now the church members? They're Gentiles. The people that heard the gospel from the Jews who were witnessing, and they are the church. But they come from a very different background, do they not? They come from worshiping the gods of Rome. They come from celebrating the stars and the moon and the Olympics, and all kinds of things that were foreign to the people of Israel. They ate whatever they wanted. They got together and had fellowships and parties anytime they wanted. Well, when the emperor died, and I think that was in 49, you have to check my facts on that. When the emperor Claudius died, all of the Jews were allowed to come back. And so they did. They came back home. And when they came back, and they came back to the First Baptist Church of Rome there, they found it very different. Because the Gentiles were trying to follow God, wanting to walk in His grace, but they did not have all that Old Testament history and foundation. They weren't worried about keeping the laws of Israel. They were wanting to walk in the Spirit, following Christ. And the Jewish Christians come back, and it's an adjustment for them. Wait a minute. And you've heard me say this before. Who brought the pulled pork sandwiches to the fellowship? That's not allowed. You can't have that. Get that bacon off your cheeseburger. Because under the Jewish law, there were certain dietary restrictions, and there were certain days that they honored above others. And in the Gentile Christians, they didn't have those old traditions of the Jewish heritage, religion. And there was problems in the church. There was factions, dissensions. And so Paul, who wants to get to Spain, who wants to further the gospel where no one has ever taken the gospel, he writes, as I understand this book of Romans, he writes to unite the church, Jews and Gentiles. He's seen this before. He's seen Jews and Gentiles in Antioch. He's seen Jews and Gentiles in Galatia. And he writes to them here in Rome, and he says, there is something that we all have in common. It is sin. And there's something we all have in common, grace and faith in Christ that unites us into a body. And so let us take this gospel to all who will hear, and let that be our unity around the gospel. We may have differences along the way, but are we united in Christ and in faith in the gospel? That's what Paul is writing. But I think it's very helpful for us to see and know the background of the church and what they were struggling with. And maybe as this letter is being read, maybe what they're sitting there thinking as they hear different parts of the scripture read, you know, and we do this too, don't we? We hear, if someone is up there preaching about stealing, we sit and we think of all the people that, you know, I hope they're listening to this part, because I know they're, you know, have to. Or we hear someone preaching about something else that we think, yeah, they need to hear that. But yet the Bible is for me personally. It's for you. We don't want to think about, yeah, that person needs to hear it. We need to say, I need to hear this. I need to hear it. Let's go together. Here we go. Verse 1. 1 through 7. Lord willing, today. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word, it is precious to us. And I just pray that we will grow in your grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that as we study your word, and as those come and hear your word, I pray you would work salvation in hearts that need it, and you would work joy and holiness in our lives as believers. We just commit this time and this study to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I see in these first seven verses a theme, and the theme is good news. Good news. Like, that's the theme. It might be the theme of the whole book. Good news. Have you ever taken your car into the shop and you know your transmission isn't working right, and you take it in and you think, oh man, this could be $1,000, this could be $1,500, I might need a whole new car. And the guy comes out and he says, good news, it's just a sensor on your transmission. It's $20, we'll change it, you know, charge you $50 and you'll be on your way. Isn't that nice? That's good news. Sometimes we get bad news. Good news. When you're expecting, you're expecting bad news, or the truth is there is bad news, and then they say, ah, good news. I have good news for you. If you ever come to me and say, I've got good news and bad news, what do I want to hear first? No, the bad news. Give me the bad news first. Then I have something to look forward to. It's like the dessert at the end of eating broccoli or cauliflower. Give me the bad news first. And Paul will do this as he gets into at the end of chapter 1 and into chapter 2. There's some bad news. In fact, you look at verse 18, 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's bad news. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That is the judgment of God, the wrath of God, his punishment against sin and wickedness. It is being revealed. It is we're not going to get away from it. That's bad news, especially since all have sinned and there is none righteous, no, not one. So it's very somber how Paul begins as he talks about our trouble with sin that's universal. But he begins with good news. He begins with good news, and it is the gospel. So four things. Number one, the messengers of the gospel. In the first two verses, the messengers of the gospel. Number two, the message of the gospel. So we have the messengers. Then we have the message of the gospel. Number three, the mission of the gospel in verses 5 and 6. And then number four, the mercies of the gospel. The mercies. So first of all, the messengers of the gospel. And you see there in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a leader of the Jews and the Judaistic religion. He was zealous for this. He had studied and memorized huge portions of the Old Testament. And he was insistent that no one go against that or change it. And in fact, when Christianity first started to come about, Paul would go house to house, pounding on doors, arresting men and women who believed in Jesus. And he gave his word against them to have them executed. Paul was a terrorist against the church. He tried to destroy the church of God. And yet he says, by grace we are saved through faith. Jesus called him. He said, I want you to be a witness to the nations, to the Gentiles, and you will suffer many things for my name's sake. And Paul says, when do I start? His life was transformed from the inside out. He believed on the Lord. And he changed him. The Lord changed him and called him to be a spokesman. And when he says a servant of Christ Jesus, that means he belongs to the Lord. But he is also an official representative speaking for the Lord. Moses in the Old Testament, a servant of the Lord. David, a servant of the Lord. Elijah, a servant of the Lord. And here, Paul says, I'm a servant of the Lord, called to be an apostle. Called an apostle. That is one sent with a message with the authority of the sender. Let me say that again. It's someone sent with a message with the authority of the sender. I am an official representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is, he's not just a regular one of us Christian. He is a called apostle. He is commissioned by Christ. He has seen Jesus alive. He's seen the risen Lord. He's seen him. He's talked with him. He's learned from him. And he comes with the message. He comes with the message because he has been, verse 1, set apart for the gospel. Do you see that? And this first verse, it sets the whole stage. What is Paul about? Why is he writing? Why is he a missionary? Why does he go to these places and get persecuted and imprisoned and beaten? And yet he keeps going. He keeps going. Why does he do that? Because he knows in his life, in his heart, that he has been set apart for this very specific purpose. He says, for the good news. It's good news. We say gospel, and you're going to hear me say gospel hundreds of times. And it really means what? Good news. He said, I have been set apart for the good news of God. There is good news. All have sinned, and yet, though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good news. I have good news for you. And Paul says, I have been set apart, consecrated, set over here just for this. This is my life. This is what I will do. He hopes that the church in Rome will unite and get their hearts together. But even if they won't, he is a gospel man. He is an apostle chosen by God, serving as his servant for the good news. For the good news. And Jesus has commissioned all of us to take that good news. Now, he might not call you away from your job, your career. He might not call you from your home. He may not call you out of your retirement to go to another culture with the gospel. He might, but he might not. And yet he has told us that we're all his witnesses. We're all to be taking the good news. So we must know it. And here we have God has given us these messengers. First, we see Paul, a servant, an apostle, set apart. If we look at verse 5, it's a gift of grace that he has apostleship, that he is specifically chosen as God's spokesman for the church, for us as believers to speak for God, to write for God. He says, this has been a gift to me, a grace to me. And Paul is this messenger of the gospel. But before him, there were other messengers. Verse 2. This gospel of God, this good news, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What's that? That's the Old Testament. That's those places that we try to read. And listen, I started over a year and a half ago reading through the Bible. Just reading one, you know, verse after verse after verse. And I'm at the end of Isaiah. I mean, you're supposed to read your Bible through every year, right? You know? Which, it's hard to do. It takes time. My trouble is if I read that fast, I don't get a lot out of it. If I try to read the whole Bible in a year, there's some places where it's like, oh, I just gotta just get through it, you know? And I might not learn something in Chronicles that he wants me to learn. So I've slowed down. I'm at the end of Isaiah. And it's wonderful. This morning I read Isaiah 53. That he was wounded for our transgressions. For us. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's in the Old Testament. That's at least 700 years before Jesus is born. When Isaiah is writing. And he says, "There is my servant is coming, and he will take the iniquity of us all." We're like sheep. We go astray. With his stripes, we are healed. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to punish Jesus for my sin. And yet Jesus gets the joy of our salvation, of our fellowship for eternity. That we will worship him and fellowship together with him. And for us, he laid down his life. That's the Old Testament. That's Isaiah. That's prophets. And that's what Paul says. In fact, we go all the way back to Moses. And Moses tells the people, there will come a prophet like me. He will come and he will lead the people. And while Moses brings the law, Jesus brings grace and truth. He's full of it. He's full of grace and truth. And we behold him. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul says that this gospel is not a new thing. The people in Jerusalem who were so mad at Paul are saying, "You are corrupting the scriptures. You are changing what we've always believed." And Paul says, "No, you just have to see what you've always believed is declared and made known in Jesus. It's all about him." Jesus, on his road to walking with the disciples, he begins in Moses and he goes through the Old Testament telling them the things about himself. And this is what Paul says. This gospel has been promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. We have these messengers of the gospel. Second, the message of the gospel. Okay, what is the gospel? What is the good news? Verse 3. Concerning his son. So that's where we start. What's this message of the gospel? It is about Jesus, the Son of God. That's what it's about. That's the good news, is that God has a son who is eternal. In other words, he never had a beginning. He has always been in the Trinity. He has always been the Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. We do not understand how there are three persons and one God. It's a mystery, but this is what he says. There is God's Son. He's the Son of God. That's his title. By the way, it's a title of deity. It is a title of authority. Son of God. He is over all creation. And this is the message of the gospel. You have to know who Jesus is to believe in him. You have to know who he is. Someone has to explain who this... We talk about being saved in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Well, it means you got to know him. You have to know who he is. And here he is revealed to us, the Son of God, who was descended from David according to the flesh. Now we're getting into the very specifics of the gospel. He is the Son of God, but he is also Son of David. He is fully God and fully what? Fully man. He is fully human. And he fulfilled the promises given in the Old Testament back to Abraham through God's chosen line. God promised to David a son who would reign over all, this kingdom would never end. He is the Son of God and he is the Son of David. And he is declared, verse 4, he is declared to be the Son of God in power. I think that goes together. Son of God in power. We could say the powerful Son of God if you want. He's declared to be the Son of God in power. How? According to the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, by his resurrection from the dead. Now, lest we miss this, there's the gospel in a nutshell. There it is. Jesus is the Son of God, fully man, who died and rose again. That's the gospel. He is God who became a man, who took your sin and my sin and went to the cross, and he died,
and he was raised again. The Holy Spirit of God raising the Son and declaring him Son of God in power. Son of God who's conquered sin. Son of God who's conquered death for you. Not just for sin out there somewhere. Not just for death out there somewhere. Not just for your grandmother or relative that passed away and knew the Lord. He died for you. He wants to take your sin away, your death away, your judgment away. It's good news. This is what Paul is saying. This is my life, Paul says, and I'm not the first one. We've had prophets throughout the centuries have talked about this. And it is concerning God's Son, who is fully man, came to earth, fulfilled prophecies, died for you, and rose again. That is the good news. The good news is you can believe this. Believe on, end of verse 4, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the message of the gospel. Jesus means what? Savior. Remember the angel, he tells in Matthew chapter 1, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's good news. Because I'm a sinner. And he will save his people from their sins. He is Jesus. He is the Christ who is Messiah, chosen one, strong, triumphant, king, and he is Lord. See, this is all in verse 4. I mean, it's just packed. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one that we serve, the one who owns us and bought us and rules over us. This is the gospel, through whom we have received grace and apostleship. And then we see the mission of the gospel. The mission of the gospel. It is to bring about the obedience of faith. What is that? Does that mean we have to obey in order to get saved? Well, obedience of faith. What does God command you to do? Believe. That's the commandment. How do I get to heaven? How do I get saved? How do I get forgiveness? Here's what you must do. Here's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a command. It's stated to you. Will you obey that command? You say, well, so is it of works? It's not of works. It is only by belief, by faith, by trusting in what Jesus has done. And the mission of the gospel is that believing, obedience of faith, coming to God and saying, I don't trust in myself, I trust in you. I'm obeying the gospel, which says believe. And here it is for whom? All the nations. I love it. It's missions. As we start our home Bible groups next week, in this session that we're going to do, I want to focus on missions, our missionaries. I want us to pray for our missionaries. I want us to study what the Bible says about missions and what God is doing. We've got some great missionaries that we support, that our church has supported. Some have been for decades. I want us to know them and pray for them. And here's what Paul says. It is the mission of the gospel is for the nations, and specifically what? Let's not miss this. For the sake of his name. Do you see that? For the sake of his name. And we'll have to end here. Next week we'll take up the mercies of the gospel. And we'll see belonging to him and grace and peace and love of God. I can't cut that short. We're not going to cut it short. I just want to, as we begin to close here today, for the sake of his name, let's think about that. Whose name? The missionary's name? Should we find who the best missionaries are and make them famous? That's not what Paul wanted. He said, I want to
the obedience of faith. I want people to believe the gospel for the sake of his name. Whose name? Jesus. Jesus who came and laid down his life and was raised for eternal life, for our eternal life. He is worthy to be known among the nations. All nations. He's worthy. It's for his name. It's that we may glorify him and worship him as our Savior and Lord, as the one who is the crucified Messiah, who took my sin. People need to know about this Savior. He should be made famous. There are those who are lost who do not know the name of Jesus. They do not know what he has done. And he deserves to be known. He is God of all, God and Savior. And Paul says, we want to see people come to faith in all the nations, not just so they are saved. Get that. Let that come into your heart. Yes, he desires people to be saved, but that's not the only reason for the gospel. Not just so that we are saved, but so that Christ is glorified, that I am drawn to him, that I will worship him for who he is and what he has done, for the sake of his name, his character, his reputation. In fact, in our country, his name is blasphemed. Every day, it's blasphemed. And you and I may even be guilty of that. And so what does the gospel do? The gospel says that name that people curse, we're going to lift that name up. We're not going to be ashamed that we believe in one who died for us and rose again for our salvation. We want him to be known for the sake of his name among all the nations. You know, it's on our sign, it's on our bulletin, it's in our constitution that we exist. What? We are spreading the gospel to the world from the heart of the inland waterway, from here in northern Michigan, here in Indian River. And many of you come from different towns and places and counties. And yet, we are to take this gospel, and the name of Jesus should be exalted in my life, in your life, and in the people, to the people that we meet of all the nations. Will you stand with me? This is good news, and there is good news, the mercies of the gospel, which we'll look at next week. This morning, I want to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to praise God for giving us the gospel. And I offer you this, as we sing a closing song, if at any time you want to call out to Jesus to be your Savior, he will save you. He will save you. And don't say, well, you know, I've been part of this church for a long time, and what will people think? If God saves you because you've never been saved, this church will rejoice. It will be glad. It's great. Yeah, but I wasn't honest about it. So what? You weren't saved. It's okay. Now you trust in Christ. We're together with you. And as believers, may God strengthen us in what we know of the gospel, that we may live it out this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you. And God, we rejoice in the good news that you have sent your Son to save us. And may we rejoice as believers. May your Spirit work through your Word to build us and our foundation be so solid. And may we gladly share for the sake of your name. Amen. Would you say?